Arma virumque cano.
Was that Latin?
That's Latin.
Is that Latin for I'm a big dork?
I think any Latin is Latin for I'm a big dork. Arma virumque cano is probably the most famous phrase in Latin ever.
Oh, right. Is it as famous as E pluribus unum? Hot shot.
I sing arms in the man.
Huh?
I sing arms and the man. I mean, it goes on. What does that mean? I think the man specifically is Aeneas.
It's arm stuff?
It's not arm stuff. I guess it is. It's arms stuff.
Arms stuff. Arms like.
Arms like weapons. Arms. Yeah. It's the first line of the Aeneid by Virgil.
Ah, yes. And as I was reading the book this week,
yeah.
I was like, ooh, Jack is going to have a lot to say about Virgil this week,
yes.
Isn't he? Much like, and here I am failing to remember any of the characters' names.
I can't remember their names either. her name is, her last name is Whittier.
Her name is Alex. No, Alice.
No,
Whittier.
Is it Alice? I don't think it's Alice.
Alex is the dude's best friend, and the dude's name is.
I literally just read this.
But so they all. So this is not our fault, sex bugs.
Yeah,
because
it's not our fault, sex bugs.
It's a
April. Her name is April.
Novel.
April
it's
is
a novel
month.
About. Yes, it's a novel about AO3 kids.
AO3 kids, yeah.
An archive of our own.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is a famous...
Fanfic portal.
Yeah, fanfic portal.
Yeah.
So everyone in this book has multiple names. And also, the main guy, the love interest,
yeah.
is an actor.
He's an actor.
Who plays a character called Anus.
It's not Anus.
Is that not right? A-E-N-E-A-S. Anus.
It's Aeneas.
Marcus. Marcus is Marcus, and he's Aeneas, and he's book Aeneas would never.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. We liked it. My wife recommended this one, didn't she?
My wife.
Sarah
yes.
was just reading this. She doesn't, when she, Sarah reads books.
She, is she around?
She's around, yeah.
Should we invite her in to just tell us, give, let's make her do the recap.
Okay.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah. Let's okay. see. Let's try.
Okay.
Okay. I'll go see if I can get her.
Dear?
What a dork. They're like 60-year-olds. It's like two 60-year-olds with a 3-year-old child. And soon a 0-year-old child.
She says, I guess so, and why?
How'd you pitch it?
And why?
How'd you pitch it?
I said, dear, are you free? And she said,
yeah.
Yeah. And then I said, can you do the recap of the book? And she said, I
well,
guess
so.
Well,
don't make her do work. You have to pitch it. You have to do soft pitch. You have to be like, will you come be on the podcast?
It's not work. I read it. I finished it. Tanner just wanted to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
All right. And no nonsense, okay? Because I want to be back on this damn thing. I read this whole book today. So
yeah.
you orchestrate this recap, and then I'll come back, okay?
Okay. Okay.
And no nonsense.
Hello.
Hi.
You're looking quite pregnant.
That is accurate, yes.
Did Jack tell you that you are... contractually obligated to name the boy Tanner?
Only if he's
born on my birthday.
Yeah, only
January 24th.
Yeah.
So he did tell you.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good. I'm sorry Jack pitched this segment to you so poorly and made it seem like it was going to be labor
okay.
for you.
Okay.
It's not labor. It's a fun celebration of you introducing this joy into our lives. I love this book.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I think Jack did too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listen to the show, but Jack and I have a long-standing disagreement about who does the recap each week.
Okay.
So we decided to just kind of cut it off, head it off at the pass, and invite you in to describe this novel that you've introduced to us and that you love so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's not labor. It's a celebration.
Okay. I think I might forget everyone's names.
We just went through this. Lucas is the boy, Alice is the girl, and Alex is Cupid, his friend, his best friend.
Right, right.
That's it.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
Okay.
How long ago did you read this?
A couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's still fairly fresh in your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want me to time you, or do you just want to take your time with it?
I'll just take my time, I guess, if I have the option.
Okay.
Yeah.
Use the space.
Yeah.
Spread out.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Go ahead.
So, wait, it's Lucas and Alice?
Lucas and Alice, yeah.
Yeah. So, Lucas is an actor. He plays Aeneas on...
Aeneas.
All right. On a popular TV show that is based on a fantasy novel that's sort of loosely based on the Aeneid, I guess.
Right. It's essentially Game of Thrones.
It's essentially Game of Thrones, yeah. And he...
What's Jack doing in the corner? He's making quite a bit of noise.
That's actually Joan.
Is she chewing on a box?
She is chewing on the bag of cat litter.
Okay.
I don't know why.
There's Jack and Joan.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, sorry, I interrupted.
That's okay. That's okay. So he's an actor. He's on this Game of Thrones-esque show. He's also a huge fan of the books.
Yes.
And because he's such a fan of the books, he secretly participates in a fanfic message board. He writes fanfic. He's active in the community. And he specifically writes fanfic that tries to, like, I guess, correct the way he feels like the showrunners are misjudging and mishandling his character and some other characters.
So it's like... Fix.
Yeah, fix. It's fix. So it would be bad if anyone found out that he was doing this, obviously.
Yep.
And he has a close friend. They've developed a long-term, like, they read each other's fics, they chat on the server or whatever. He has a relationship with this woman.
Ulsi is her name.
Ulsi, who he knows as Ulsi. So she's also in this segment of the fandom that's, like, big into the books, feels like this one character has been shortchanged on the show. But obviously, nobody knows who he really is. And then she, so in real life, her name is Alice. She's changing jobs and she's deciding she's going to be more open about her, like, fandom personality. And she decides to post a picture on Twitter of herself in a cosplay as this one character. Her favorite character, Lavinia. And she is fat, and a lot of people online are making fun of her or saying nasty things about her. Some people are supportive, some people are not.
Right.
But this picture comes to Lucas's attention, and he comes to her defense and ends up asking her out over Twitter.
Right.
And so they go on a date, and then I don't know how much I need to tell you about the plot of this book, I guess. I'm now describing it in great detail.
We've covered the first, maybe fifth of the book.
Yeah. So yeah, they start dating, but she doesn't, they don't know that they're also their best friends on the,
secretly
on the fanfic server. And yeah, from there, you know, they fall.
They date.
They date. They have a romance story that happens to them. Yeah.
But there's a lot of conflict that happens between him being a fit young hunk.
Mm-hmm.
And her being a fat woman, she has a lot of insecurities. He has a lot of ignorance about the fat shaming community. Is that a community?
I wouldn't call it a community, but yeah.
And
he
doesn't
really get like what she's dealing with.
Yes, they need to work through their differences, and he holds it back that he is book Aeneas would never.
Yeah.
But eventually it comes out and they have a big fight.
Yeah.
Because he lied to her.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. The rest is romance.
Yeah, the rest is romance.
You can guess what happens from there on.
Yeah, I think you can.
Sex bugs. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Okay.
for joining us and describing the book. I'll let you get back to your evening now, and I'll insist that your husband come back, and I'll bother him instead of bothering you.
Okay.
What a nice conversation. No timers, no pressure.
Yeah, but it sounds like
it was just two friends chatting about a book they mutually enjoyed.
Should we abandon the timer? Let's, from here on out, abandon the fuck a timer.
Well, I think it made Sarah a little insecure. At one point, she was like, am I, like, over-describing the book?
It sounds like you only got like, halfway through.
No, I filled in some of the details. You couldn't hear my part.
Okay, you got the whole way through.
I was sort of, have you seen the movie Jumper?
Yeah, of course I've seen Jumper, man.
I was doing jumping.
Oh, okay, you were, like, jumping in and out of time, like Hayden Christensen. Yeah. Jumper was the greatest disappointment of my life. I think that's not...
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was the greatest disappointment of my life.
Being laid off from your job.
Nothing. It compares in no way to how disappointed I was by Jumper.
Huh.
It just seemed like, you know...
It didn't... I will say...
Yeah.
Jumper was a film that I was excited about.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. But I wouldn't say that I thought it promised me much. I didn't have a lot of expectations going into it.
It was supposed to be so good. It was like...
No, it wasn't.
No, everything about it seemed...
No one expected it to be good.
I was like, finally, we're back. Because, like, there had been this, like, dearth of, like, original science fiction in the movies. And then I was like, finally, the star of the fucking Phantom Menace is like...
A movie you love. Oh, we have to talk about that too, don't we?
We can't. We've got to talk about this book.
Let's do a quick dad talk.
Okay.
Because this is important. This is a milestone. This is a milestone in our lives. It's a milestone in the bedpots lives.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Tell me what you texted me the other day.
I finally caved.
You texted me a lot. You texted me the other day to say that you love the Kid Laroi Justin Bieber song "Stay."
You introduced
and you like the bubble butt guy on TikTok who danced to it.
Tanner sometimes introduces me to TikToks.
Yeah, I'm surprised you even had TikTok on your phone.
No, I didn't have it. I watched a YouTube of it.
Okay, I guess I'm not surprised by that.
But I texted you because you're a big Phantom Menace fan, and I finally like so Cyril like. This all started with a Star Wars shirt, like, months ago. Cyril had this, like, my human child, had this, like, a friend had given us, like, hand-me-down shirts that were probably hand-me-downs of hand-me-downs of hand-me-downs. And he has this shirt that's, like, from the fucking 70s that, like, has, like, all of the cast of Empire Strikes Back on it. And he was like, who are these fucking guys?
Lando?
Lando's on it.
Is Lando on it? Nye and Numb?
I don't think Nye and Numb is on it.
You don't think Nye and Numb is on? He's a pretty important character.
Not really.
Empire Strikes Back.
You don't. But Cyril's like, who are these guys?
Boba Fett?
I can't talk to you.
Do you have the shirt? Do you have the shirt?
I'm not going to go wake up the child. Let me tell you the story in the way I need to tell it. But people know this because we've talked about Star Wars and Cyril a lot on the show. But that
Lobot?
Lobot
on the shirt?
Is not in it.
Do you know who Lobot is?
Yes, it's the guy who points with both his fingers to say that like it's this way on Cloud City, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So I don't fucking try to question me. Anyway, so people know this, but my child has become obsessed with Star Wars, but just from this one shirt. And, like, I bought him a bunch of Star Wars figurines for his birthday, and he's just, like, he's, like, all Star Wars all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't want to show him Star Wars because I think he's too young to understand it and like, appreciate it as a movie.
Okay, right. Sure. That's fair.
And
I think there's a lot of consternation with Star Wars dads. About when and how to introduce their children
and how is the right time to introduce him to A New Hope. But like it's like all he talks about. Like at school, like I took him to school today and his teacher, Miss Becca, was there and like, you know, they take his temperature to like before he can be admitted into the school. And
so Texas.
Miss Becca just like she saw me approaching. She was
We left that behind months ago.
Well, let me just say this. She saw
here in the Elysian shores of Connecticut.
She saw us approaching. She was like, oh, hi, Jack. And then she turned to Cyril. She was like, hey, Jango Fett.
Oh, okay, he goes by Jango Fett now.
He goes by Jango Fett at school. But it's like,
that's so confusing, because is Jango Fett a big player in The Phantom Menace?
No.
I mean, think of him as an Attack on the Clones guy.
No, but this is
Attack
my point.
Attack of the Clones guy.
I'm still getting to this Phantom Menace.
Sure, sorry. As soon as you start to mention Star Wars characters by name,
he's immersed.
You've set me off.
I'm like hyper aware that we many minutes have gone by without us talking about this book.
No, but it's like, this is important though.
So he's like fully immersed in this universe, but he's never seen anything that is like an actual Star Wars property. Apart from, I'll sometimes show him clips on YouTube.
Right.
And then I realized I could maybe, solve my moral dilemma, cut the Gordian knot, as it were.
Like King Solomon.
That's not King Solomon, but it's Alexander the Great. He can watch Phantom Menace, which is, full of Star Wars shit, but I don't care if he gets the full, emotional heft.
You're not worried about the reveal.
I'm not worried about spoiling.
The big reveal.
There's nothing to spoil.
There is a big thing to spoil.
There's nothing to spoil.
Anakin Skywalker.
He hasn't put it together, man. I swear to God, he hasn't put it together.
This is actually you. I think you've sort of cracked the code a little bit. It's like, show them the prequel trilogy when they're too young to really understand what it all means.
Yeah.
Because then the reveal of Luke, I am your father, is still pretty
impactful.
He hasn't
put it together. He's like, here's what he knows. He knows that Anakin is the little kid in Phantom Menace. He knows that when Darth Vader takes his helmet off, he's also called Anakin.
Okay, sure.
He has not put anything
else. It's a common name. It's a common
put
name.
Anything else
it's like
together
Steve.
In any meaningful way.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been.
But he likes Jango Fett.
Dad talk, hasn't it?
That's cool. It's cool to like
He
Jango
wants to be
Fett.
Jango
That's
Fett.
Like,
he has decided that he's Jango Fett. And when I put him to bed today, he was like, okay, the Mandalorian, I'm going to Slave One for the night. I was like, all right, dude, you've never seen any of these fucking movies. You just pick stuff up, random stuff up about Star Wars. Because he's always asking me. He's like, what does Jango Fett ride in? I was like, probably Slave One or some version of it.
That's, it's not Slave. That's Boba Fett, idiot.
I know Boba Fett does, but where do you think he got it from? Probably his dad.
Well, his dad died when he was a kid.
Okay, but that.
So probably not.
Well, he rides in a ship that looks surprisingly like fucking Slave One in a Phantom Menace.
Maybe it is a Slave One. I don't know.
Okay, in Clone One. In Attack of the Clones.
Your son might be.
This is not a Star Wars podcast!
Is it not?
No.
Okay, should we do one?
Probably. This has been Dad Talk.
Dad Talk.
I read this whole book. Let's get vulnerable. Let's get vulnerable with each other.
I love this book. I have no reason to be stalling as much as I am. I love this book and I want to talk about
it. Let's be vulnerable.
I had so much fun reading this book. What'd you say?
Let's be vulnerable with each other.
Oh, let's be vulnerable.
I learned it from this book. The man in this book is so vulnerable and so open with his feelings. I've never
open, he's sensitive,
seen
he's
anything
caring.
Like it. I just it's beyond my ability
when
to.
When someone says to him, "Hey, you're not doing enough," he says,
he's like,
tell me how
I
can do
that. He's like, oh, I think I must have fucked up. It's fucking wild.
It's not a side of you I'm used to. Every time I confront you about something, you're like, shut up.
Yeah, it makes me so angry and defensive anytime anyone criticizes me.
Every time I'm like, hey, you're literally late to everything
we
do together, you're like, shut up, wiener.
Let me clarify. When I said let's get vulnerable with each other,
you don't want to be honest.
I didn't mean let's say things that annoy you about me.
No, let's have a dialogue.
Give me an opportunity to become vulnerable.
Let's have a dialogue.
But
some of the stuff I want you to be vulnerable about.
That's not. Yeah, that's such taking the wrong lesson. I'm gonna now. Man, this book really fucking showed me what it's like to be vulnerable.
It empowered me.
Like I'm gonna go and tell my friends what I want them to be vulnerable about. It's not. We should talk about. There's so much to talk about. We should talk about pietas.
Pietas.
Pietas. It's a big part of the Aeneid. I brought my.
Oh Jesus! He just stood up to. I assume go get his copy of the Aeneid.
I've got them both.
Yep. What is it? That's the English and the Greek.
It's not fucking Greek.
Latin.
Yeah, I've got it in Latin, and I've got a prose translation by David West, one of the great translators.
Can I be vulnerable with you for a second? I have something I need to tell you.
Okay, tell me.
And I don't know what it's going to do to our friendship.
We've got to say about the book, though, but yes.
I've never read the Aeneid.
What?
I've never read the Aeneid. And in fact, you know, here's everything I know about Virgil.
Yeah.
He was in...
Dante?
Dante's Inferno.
That's pretty good. I mean, like, it wasn't actually him. Dante's Inferno is fanfic of the Aeneid.
it's from
actually no
the
it's not AO3 fanfic of the Aeneid, it's fanfic of the author of the Aeneid,
which is Virgil.
Yeah, which is Virgil,
who helped Dante.
Yeah,
what's the main character of Dante's Inferno called?
Dante, nel mezzo di cammin di nostra vita mi ritrovai in una selva oscura.
It helped Dante. He was Dante's tour guide through hell.
Yeah, in the middle way of my life, I found myself in a dark wood where the correct way had been lost. And that's Dante, and the person who helps to guide him is Virgil.
Virgil, the author of the Aeneid.
We're getting removed. I think the Aeneid speaks with this text in a useful way. That is something that we can definitely explore.
Can I ask a very quick question?
Yeah.
And then we will get back to the text.
Yeah.
Your thesis...
My thesis, yeah.
Your dissertation. Mm-hmm. Was the Aeneid or Virgil involved in any way?
No.
Were they quoted or... Okay, thank God.
Yeah.
Okay, we're in the clear.
Yeah, my thesis is on a Greek novel.
Yeah, and this is a Greek novel.
It's fucking Roman. It's Latin.
And it was a poem. Yes. It's all about the Aeneid. It's all about, Virgil. Well, it's not. You're just like Lucas's parents. Look at you. You're like, it's not Aeneid enough.
Is his name Lucas?
Yes. Or Anus. Book Anus would never.
His name is Marcus.
Marcus, yes. And that's what I meant. Yeah. I think I told your wife that it was Lucas.
Yeah, and I heard
Lucas
her saying the
times.
Wrong name of the woman as well, which I also assume came from you. Her name is April.
Right. And what did I say, Alex?
Yeah, you said Alice.
That's his best friend.
Yeah. So
he plays Cupid.
This is going off the fucking rails. Look, guys, this is a fun book. It's like fanfic all the way down, because it's like fanfic of fanfic of fanfic.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's like a fun concept. And like they do a pretty good thing where like there could be a bad version of this book where it's too much wish fulfillment. And she's like the power dynamic between them is too great a gulf because he's like a handsome, muscly
movie star.
And she's like a biggest fan who's
like a Tumblr girl.
But they do a good job of being like, her fanfic is really fucking good. And he's also like super into fanfic. And in fact, his fanfic is like the way that he can express his authentic self, which he's not otherwise able to express.
Right. And he has dyslexia, so he is the underdog in this story.
And he doesn't
know
how to
love
himself.
Because
he's got these
he doesn't know how to love himself.
Nerdy fucking parents who are like obsessed with like the like they think that this dramatization of the Aeneid is a bastardization.
Sophomoric.
And it does seem like it is.
Yeah. he does know how to love himself. He describes it several times.
How
he talks about fisting his cock.
He does say that a good deal. Yes.
Yeah.
I've noticed that. And I'm sorry for the blue language at this point.
Yeah.
He does mention, he uses that phrase.
Yeah. Fisting his
fisting
cock.
Fisting his cock. I think, I don't know. I think it's.
He likes to think about his girlfriend, April, while he fists his cock. And I don't know if that means he's. Let me back up.
Okay,
I think of fisting the traditional definition of the word
what
fisting.
What I would think is not, we could not.
Okay, you don't want to talk about what he means by fisting.
I don't
his cock?
Want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
I think that it's maybe a writer looking for colorful language to describe the act of making
masturbation.
There you go. Thank you.
Yes.
Whew.
Yes.
What do I like to talk about? Let's see. You've really thrown me off. You've really thrown me off. Yeah, my wife come in.
Really
you made me talk
off.
About
yeah, you're
Jar Jar
off
Binks. And then...
We're almost halfway done with the episode. Look at you. You're like floundering. You're like stumbling.
It took me like 7 hours to read this book today. I really enjoyed it.
I warned you. We talked 2 days ago, and yeah. I was like, you're going to want to get ahead of this one. It's a little longer than our usual fare.
I spent a
and
lot.
You're like, oh, look at me. I can read fast.
Can I tell you a story that's like only tangentially related to this novel?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll read you a passage first.
Okay.
So, like, the one of the things about Marcus, the male protagonist of this novel, is that he, like, he has dyslexia, and he has to play this, like, dumb... I don't know how much my wife explained to you, but, like, he has to play this dumbhead role in public. Yeah. He acts like he's a dumb movie star.
Golden partially Retriever to, like, is what he calls himself.
Get back at his parents, and partially
just placates others.
He just, like, doesn't... You know, like, I don't know. He's just got he's got a complex. He doesn't...
Yeah.
He's not able to see himself as the smart, intelligent person that he is.
Yep, yep.
And so he plays this golden retriever dumbass. And then they're talking about this famous video where someone tried to make him read and he felt like he looked dumb. Both times she'd studied Marcus as the host handed him a book with small text and asked him to read a steamy bit aloud. That sounds like us, doesn't it? On live television, without warning, with, as she now knew, dyslexia, which he'd been taught to consider a defining weakness and source of shame. Still, he'd tried, stumbling over the words until the host and audience had laughed uncomfortably and the show broke for commercials. A few comments beneath that video had speculated he was drunk, but the group consensus had coalesced quickly. Stupid. Not hammered. Why is their IQ always the inverse of their fuckability? Read one comment. Wow.
Tell me about it.
But my reaction to this was very much like, why didn't his agent or handler stop this in its tracks? And the reason that I had that reaction is because I have been the interviewer in that situation.
You've been the guy.
I've been the guy who tried to do the thing and
exploit someone's weakness.
Well, I didn't realize it. Are you familiar with the television program Doctor Who?
Yes, I've seen it. I've actually recorded interstitials for BBC America.
Oh, yeah, with me.
Alongside with one of my closest friends.
I interviewed the cast of Doctor Who a couple times back in the
book. Remind me again, who introduced you to Doctor Who?
It was not you, man. Probably my dad in the fucking 80s. But I think you may have persuaded me to watch the new incarnation of it with David. What, no, before David, with Christopher.
I think Chris Eccleston.
Chris Eccleston. I interviewed the actors, Karen Gillan and Matt Smith, for the company that we worked at that was a major media company. And we had this, like, cool idea because Matt Smith famously wears a bow tie.
No, he doesn't. Doctor Who famously wears a bow tie.
Okay, I'm sorry. Doctor Who famously wears a... I guess, like, having read this book, I should be hyper aware of the... you know, like, we are not the parts we play is one of the messages right. of this novel. Doctor Who, when he's played by Matt Smith, wears a bow tie.
Right.
Like, I get nervous before this type of thing. Like, I overprepare
sure,
for this
who doesn't?
Type of shit. Like, I'm not a natural, like... I'm not naturally comfortable. And it was also, like, a show I really liked. So I was, like, a fan of it, and I was excited to meet this person. So, like, I spent a lot of time with our video person who actually came up with this idea, like, coming up with the perfect thing. We were like, oh, what we'll get Matt Smith to, do a quick instructional video of, like, how to tie a bow tie.
Oh, that's good.
And that'll be, like, perfect. That's fucking it's, like, gold. That's gold.
Right.
And I was like, great. So, like, we went and bought a bow tie and went into the headquarters of BBC America, like, super excited. And then, like, we were, like, waiting for the talent to come out. And then, like, some, like, fucking BBC America functionary walked out and was like, hey, so we won't be doing the bow tie idea, but you can ask any questions you want. And I was like, what? What? Like, this is what we're here for.
Is the question you asked, can you tie a bow tie?
Yeah, that was, like, all we had prepared. I was like, what do you want me to fucking do? Like, I'm not going to ask him about, like, are the Daleks real? You know, like, what do you want me to fucking say? I don't know. And then eventually, like, after a bunch of back and forth, I was like, come on, please. Like, eventually, like, someone came out and it was, like, his agent. And they were like, Matt doesn't know how to tie a bow tie.
Obviously.
Very clearly. And we're not going to fucking do it.
He has a team of people who know how to do that for him.
Anyway, we had them read celebrity tweets in American accents, and it was really funny, and there's a video of it. That's my story. We haven't talked about this book much. Do you want to take a break and come back and say some stuff about it?
Even though it is a very good book, and I'm excited to talk about it. No, we haven't talked about it much. Should we take a break?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be back in a minute.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
They talk about in this book, what are they? I can't even remember what specifically they're talking about. But they talk
about stuff.
They briefly mention the concept of a freebie list.
Freebie list, yes. I think it's.
That's the one. He directed a pained grimace at the heavens. He's on her freebie list. Every time we stream an episode, she's always very insistent about that. I think they're talking about how handsome Marcus is.
Marcus is, yeah. I don't remember who this is, though.
We could build.
I think it's coworkers of April's.
Yeah. We could build our own ultimate freebie list.
Yes.
We built a freebie list.
No, I'm very faithful to my wife.
I know, but that's what freebie list is.
It's a little bit naughty, huh?
It's a little bit naughty. I've got mine just fucking queued up. You want to hear
it? Oh, you've already developed
this. I was thinking about it while I was while I read this passage, and it just kind of came out. So I'll do my four, and then you can do your four.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Should we alternate?
No.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Count Chocula.
Okay.
Count Duckula.
They're all counts.
Darkwing Duck.
It's like an SAT problem now.
Winona Ryder.
Let me see if I can make the connection.
Oh, I should say three of them have to be from the Duckaverse.
Oh, they have to be.
Three of them from the freebie. Okay, now you do yours.
Now you've confused me because.
Oh, yeah, Count Chocula.
Is Count Chocula or Winona Ryder from the Duckaverse?
Two of them have to be from the Duckaverse. One of them has to be from the Chocula-verse.
Okay, let me think. Launch. Okay.
And then here's one of them is just free.
Here's mine.
I should say, I don't want to get canceled. I know that Count Chocula is not from the Duckoverse.
Yeah. That's what's going to get you finally canceled.
Yeah.
Who's the sexy goth duck? Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah. In DuckTales, Elvira?
I'm searching. No, Elvira's... Weirdly, Elvira is Donald Duck's mother, and... She's better known as Grandma Duck, so that's not
okay,
her.
That's not who I'm thinking of. But she's in the DuckTales game.
Here, let me search Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
Enemies.
Okay, perfect.
Sorry, I didn't come prepared for this segment. I didn't realize two of them would have to be from
the Duckaverse, and one of them has to be from the Chocolaverse.
Okay, well that's easy. It's gonna be,
and then
Frank
you can pick one, and then you just pick, then you get a freebie.
Well, my number one is Frankenberry.
Okay.
Obviously, there's a
werewolf one.
Here's my worry. Here's, you want to know my honest concern with Booberry and why I didn't say Booberry?
Yeah, you don't want to fuck a ghost.
I would worry that I could see my ding dong like through.
Yeah, that would be
him,
distracting,
and that would be like I don't know if I could handle that. That's that's too real. So Booberry, no, not Booberry. Frankenberry is my
Chocolaverse.
Magicka Dispel.
Okay. Yes.
Is my sexy Duckaverse character. She is by far, and how embarrassing for you that I managed to choose by far the sexiest Duckaverse character.
Count Duckula.
You didn't even think about her. And then my second one is obviously Launchpad McQuack.
And now you can pick a freebie. Anyone you want. Anyone in the world. I picked
anyone?
Winona. Yeah.
Winona Ryder was yours, huh?
Wow, I really stumped him. I really stumped
I'm just
him.
Thinking. I'm trying to decide between Cortana from Halo or...
Wow. It took you no seconds to get to Launchpad McQuack.
I mean, the Duckaverse stuff was so easy. Like, it's obviously the hunkiest dude and the hunkiest lady from the Duckaverse, right? And the only... conscionable
Chocolaverse
character, the only one that where I couldn't, well, that wasn't claimed by you, and that I couldn't see my penis through his like incorporeal being.
Yeah,
but now that you're making me think about real people,
yeah,
do I have to just choose one?
Yeah, one. You get one other freebie if you ever run into Frankenberry or Launchpad McQuack or the sexy duck from Darkwing Duck. No questions asked. Jamie won't even be mad. And then there's one other person.
Let's just say Cortana from Halo.
Okay, it's Cortana from Halo. The,
well, no, let me stop there. Because Cortana's like an AI.
Okay.
And she manifests in the physical plane as like a sort of see-through.
Oh, no. That's your worst nightmare.
My concern there would maybe be that I could see my...
You could see your ding-dong.
Ding-dong through her while we were doing intercourse.
Yeah.
It's too hard. It's too hard to pick. It's too hard to settle on one... Does it have to be a real person? Or it could be a fictional person.
It could be whoever you want in the wide universe.
Oh, you know who it's going to be?
Who?
It's going to be those giant fairy ladies from Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Okay. The ones,
can I send you a
they
picture?
They make that funny noise. I'd rather you not, because it's an audio medium, and so it does nothing for our audience, and that's my primary concern here. So me seeing...
Well, they all know. They all know what they look like.
Little interest. Should we talk about...
look at this. Ooh, yama mama, rock me to bed. Rock me to sleep.
Don't you think that it's doubly interesting that this novel is about fan
gobble
fiction.
Me up. Hey,
and
look at this. Look at what I just said.
The development of a community
gobble me up,
mommy. Fan fiction, especially in the context of...
Did you see it? Did you see the picture of me?
What the Aeneid was to contemporary readers and certainly in Virgil's imagination.
Did you see the picture?
Why don't you answer my question while I look at the picture? It's a giant, a kind of pixelated angel creature. Who's sprinkling fairy dust on Link, and she looks pretty sexy. But now respond to what I said. Tanner, stop Googling angels from Link and respond to what I said. It was quite an insightful comment. Would you like me to try to say it again? What are you doing? Please don't make me feel dead air. It's my least favorite thing. Especially when I've asked you a question. Sorry, what are you doing?
Ahead. I was going to find a meme to send to you.
Perfect. Shall I ask you the question again?
Yeah.
While you look for the meme.
Yeah.
Don't you think that it's interesting the way that this novel addresses the commons, the way that...
You know I have no opinion on this, Jack.
Let me at least say it. The stories that we tell to each other belong to the commons, mm-hmm. right? And the Aeneid, and that's what this book is about, right? It's like, how much do these stories that we experience together belong to us as people? And can we as a community create our own stories that are just as viable around these sort of stories, or do they all belong to like fucking big corporate fucking Game of Thrones or whatever, or do they belong to us? And isn't that interesting, given that they chose that Olivia Dade chose the Aeneid to be the central story that she's talking about, when the Aeneid itself was conceived by Virgil as being like, I want to create this great history for Rome, because Rome doesn't have one. The Greeks have the Odyssey and the Iliad, but you know, I'm going to create this story that we can all share in.
You know what really fucked me up was this entire book.
Yeah.
It's like obviously a Game of Thrones allegory.
Yeah.
And then at one point, Olivia Dade's like,
she mentions it.
She's like, we don't want like a Game of Thrones situation where they fucked up the last season.
Yeah,
so
no, it's clearly because it's like the books. It's not based on Virgil. It's based on this author called E. Wade, who's already mediated Virgil. And this actually speaks to my point really well, right? It's like fanfic.
God, I found it. I finally found it.
I'm so glad you found the meme. But it's like fanfic upon fanfic upon fanfic, because like this author E. Wade has taken Virgil's epic and mediated it through her own mind and created this great book series that has then been mediated again. But much like Game of Thrones, he's sent me a fucking meme. I hope this is good. I swear to God, I hope this is good. Okay. It's the same picture of the sexy fairy casting her magical fairy dust upon Link. And then there's a picture of a bro.
Let me send you, I'll send you the full meme for the context.
Please don't. Underneath, called Big JB21, and he's written, God, I wish that were me, and I appreciate the use of the subjunctive. And I don't, you've sent me another meme with the same guy's name.
That's what he's originally referencing.
Okay.
The image he's originally referencing.
I can't. This is a fucking giant audio medium.
It's a giant test.
It's an audio medium. Please don't look up giantess memes. Dude, I'm trying to say something pretty interesting.
I know, but it wasn't all that interesting, was it?
It was.
I'm sorry, were it?
It was interesting. What have we talked about pietas?
Pietas is potatoes in Latin.
No, it's like, it's the, it's what's going
Let's
on.
Let's talk about animal blindness.
With Aeneas.
It's catching.
Okay, animal blindness. It came up a couple of episodes ago when...
I think Sarah McLean.
A Scott in the Dark.
Yeah.
The author Sarah McLean is...
This is a plague.
Yeah.
It's a plague that's spreading across the romance author community.
Yeah.
Where they just don't know what animals
they
are.
They can't tell animals apart.
They can't tell animals apart. Let me read a passage.
Okay, please.
April, the protagonist of this book, is a geologist.
Yeah.
She loves rocks.
Yeah.
Let's get some coffee and look at some rocks. Mm-hmm. Marcus groaned in mock torment, but took her hand and allowed her to lead him towards the coffee bar.
Okay.
Some of them will be shiny, she sing-songed. Then she reached her free hand to tug a strand of his hair as they stood in line, just like you. He glanced at his sneakers for a moment. A pretty face, Ron had said. We couldn't have found prettier.
That's the showrunners.
Yeah, Ron and
they're mean.
Don. I don't remember. We'll get to them later. Despite my years in the dirt, I have a weakness for shiny things. I'm a magpie, really. She flicked her earlobe, where looping strands of silver cascaded to her
shoulders.
She's not a magpie. She's a person.
She's a person, yeah.
Olivia.
Yeah, you're completely wrong.
Olivia? A magpie is a bird.
It's a kind of bird.
It's not a person at all.
Yeah, it's not.
You're so off here. Olivia. And I hate to give you notes, and I'm really, really, really
disappointed.
We really
liked
your
book.
Editor. I feel like your editor, even at a like a spot pass,
yeah,
probably could have spotted that one. That's an error.
That's a kind of bird.
And I think it's because you have animal blindness, and don't worry, this is not
your fault. It's afflicting the whole community.
It's a systemic problem within the romance community.
Yeah.
You've got animal blindness. Your character's not a magpie. She's a
she's a person.
Yeah.
What else? Should we do our burns?
You want to do a burn already? Well, sure. That's perfect because it my burn is about Ron and RJ.
Okay. It's our burn of the week where we do burns. You can go first.
There's a group text.
Yeah, there's a funny group text between all of the guys on the show, and they're all there's like everyone on the show is funny and fun, and they have a fun group text. But it's very much like real office place dynamics. It felt very relatable to me because there's like
one
guy who's like the guy who plays Jupiter who just like doesn't fucking get it, and he's a fucking pill. His name is Ian.
He turns out to be the villain.
Yeah, he's kind of a villain in this.
I'm just going to read the whole group text.
Yeah.
Kara, surprise, surprise, motherfuckers. Jesus. Kara.
Okay.
Ron and RJ officially backed out of Con of the Gates, citing too heavy workload.
That's the Kara, screenwriters. The show
too heavy workload, my sweet ass. Alex. That's Cupid. I'm assuming they mean the workload for their Starfighters project, since they were nowhere to be found on our set this last season. That's funny. That's what the Game of Thrones Season 8 guys were working on. They were working on Star Wars. Alex, except in front of the cameras, naturally, for special features and interviews highlighting their genius and dedication. Maria, well, they certainly weren't working on our scripts. Ian, they were around plenty, whiners. That's the dork.
That's the
Peter.
Loser.
More tuna hallucinations. Poor Ian. He eats a lot of fish.
That's a real through line. Because he's trying to bulk up, so he eats a lot of fish, and that's the only anytime he says anything, they do fish jokes at him.
Yeah. Peter, more tuna hallucinations. Poor Ian. Peter, it's a shame everyone will miss Ron and RJ's session. The art and science of failing upward as cishet white guys, and the burns on us.
It's us, isn't it? And that was I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was going to be a fish joke on Ian that we could all laugh at, but it's a joke on me specifically and you.
Us.
It's Tanner,
two cishet white guys
failing upwards.
Managed to fail upwards their entire career and lives.
Yeah, and it's actually harder than it looks. So
that's my burn.
Good. You burned us pretty good, Tanner.
Well, Peter burned us pretty good.
I got a burn. It's also a burn on a cishet. I don't like saying it, but it's a burn on a cishet white guy.
I know. You gave me a lot of shit the other day for saying it, but it's what we're all saying.
Yeah, everybody's saying it. This book made me feel a little bit old. Is that okay to say? Is that
you
okay
are a little
say?
Bit old.
But it's like, a little bit is the right...
Jack, it's about embracing your truth. This whole book is about embracing your truth.
This whole book is about authenticity. No, exactly.
Accepting
it's about,
who you are and not backing down.
It's about who your authentic self is.
Accept it. You're 40 what? 2?
No. Marcus...
Jesus, are you 42?
I said no!
41?
I said no. Marcus is...
Mid-40s.
The actor, but he's also this character, but he's also this like fanfic person, and it's like,
yes.
Who's his authentic self? And the book is about, and you know,
Bond.
She's actually like, she's already kind of done her journey early on because she's not being her authentic self, which is someone who likes fanfic. She's a very serious and impressive geologist, but she likes fanfic.
Yeah.
And doing cosplay and stuff, and she can't do that in her job. So she quits her job early on in the book in order to have a lower paying job where she feels like she can embrace her authentic self.
Yes.
And that's what this journey is about. And this is us embracing our authentic selves as well. And I'm learning that, and I've learned that, and I'm learning it. And I've got to embrace my... Why am I talking about it?
I'm a cishet white man.
Stop saying it.
And I'm... I probably won't say that I'm proud of that.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that's loaded. It becomes loaded then.
I'm going to do a burn on this guy.
I'm ashamed of that.
No, no. I don't want to talk about it.
Also not good. Okay.
Yeah, just don't. Yeah, it's a minefield.
What a tricky wicket.
Yeah. You can't be anything about it. Let me just say,
what is this? Joe Rogan's podcast all of a sudden?
Please, please. Why do you do this to me?
Back you into a corner?
It's not even just back me into a corner. It's like we have a perfectly reasonable conversation about
shove
something.
You into a corner.
And then you're like, let's just keep fucking picking at it until... until we
this
have nowhere
why,
left to go.
Why, this is why I look at you.
Now we're vulnerable.
I've stripped you down.
We're vulnerable with each other now. And I feel ready to open up to you.
I've made you raw. You're like a raw nerve.
Yeah. I identify with the parents in this book.
Yeah, you would. They're like Greek scholars who like... Or sorry, Latin scholars.
No, one of them's a Greek scholar and one of them's a Latin scholar, and they have an argument about it. And I was like, oh, I would be on the side of the Greek scholar. But like,
God, do you wish you had a podcast with a Latin scholar?
Yeah.
So that you could just talk about like antiquity all day?
Yeah, but like I identify with them, but I also, because I'm being vulnerable now. I wouldn't be like them. Like I very specifically don't, because I'm like that. I don't want to be like that for my child. I was like, this is a cautionary tale.
What about
tale.
Your friend who you subject to your
dissertation?
You
can handle
dissertation?
It.
Can I?
Yeah. But I'm not going to be like that for my child. That's why I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, let's watch the fucking Phantom Menace
You're
together.
You're just
and
slowly,
pretend to be
slowly introducing him to Greek epics. Right?
One of these days, he's going to be, this is a thing that you'll learn as a parent, dear bed pots, if you're not already a parent, if you ever hope to become one, the thing that you're going to do to your kid is you're going to spend your whole early parenthood trying not to fuck them up in the way that your parents fucked you up.
Right.
And then what's going to end up happening is you fuck them up in the opposite way. Because you overcorrected. And so Cyril's going to be like, Dad, like, why didn't you push me harder?
To learn Latin.
To learn Greek and Latin. And you were always just like, yeah, embrace your bliss, man. Watch fucking Phantom Menace. Like, I, you know, whatever. I love you no matter what. And like, I could have been something. And I'm gonna be like, fuck, I overcorrected.
I think my concern is that I am so dead set on not imprinting on Miles.
Yeah,
that I am letting him imprint on me, and I am way too into the Cars universe.
Okay, yeah,
among many other things.
No, that's
true. Like,
that's and I think that's good. I'm like I like Star Wars, but it's not like the only thing I want to talk about.
Right, right.
Can I say
I don't
burn?
Just want to listen to the Cars soundtrack every
we
time
got,
we get in the car to drive to school?
We got vulnerable with each other, didn't we? This book really opened us up. Can I say my burn?
Yeah.
So they're talking about when he decided to be like the golden retriever, like dumbass in public, and he gave up. And it was when his parents like belittled him and thought that he was bad at life because he wasn't like a Greek scholar.
Yep.
You gave up. She repeated his own words, breath held against the possibilities contained in that phrase. I'd always been a good mimic, he said. I practiced myself in my room. I had my parents down cold by then. That pompous guy from all the historical documentaries my parents love too. And I think that's a burn on Simon Sharma. Very specifically.
He's like a British documentarian.
Simon Sharma is, it's like a deep cut for, this is a deep cut for the Sharma heads out there. I'm a Sharma head. He's a British, historian who's on literally all of the documentaries. And it's like a very deep burn on Simon Sharma specifically, who as far as
I
know,
he looks like a friendly man.
Done nothing wrong.
Yeah. He looks nice.
All right, Daddy, take the wheel. You take the wheel because we've got three segments we have to do. We got to do all three segments in 10 minutes. We have to do Love and Time of Horses. We got to do Two Prude Dudes, and we got to do the Mohs scale.
I want to talk about Girth Check.
Okay.
Real quick. And I had an idea for Girth Check.
That's a fourth segment we have to do. Okay, in 10 minutes. Go.
Have you ever seen Top Gear? It's another British TV
show.
Top
Gear, yeah. It's
with three
Joey from Friends.
Talking about... No, British one.
I know, Joey from Friends is in it, famously.
The British one?
Yeah, he like hosted it after like one of the guys got canceled. They brought in Joey from Friends to do it.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. One of the guys is an asshole, and he got canceled. The other two are also assholes. Anyway, in Top Gear, they bring on celebrities to do a race on their race course.
Yeah.
And they put a big board up where they put the times of the celebrities on to say, yeah, like, oh, Patrick Stewart was faster than Matt Smith, you know, okay, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I was thinking we could do that for Girth Check, just like put a big leaderboard up,
yeah,
to sort of clock where every male protagonist...
How long that dong?
The size of their penises.
Yeah.
We can start doing that now. I'm not going to retroactively go back and put everyone who has participated in Girth Check on the board.
Okay.
But let's talk about Lucas's dick.
Okay, and his name is Marcus.
Marcus. Urging her down onto the sofa, he tugged off her lounge pants and panties and spread her pale, round thighs. He stroked down those thighs, then slowly back up, watching every inch of flesh pass beneath his hands. Her voice was choked. My goodness. Sorry, choked. My goodness, Grandma. What big... As he knelt close, gaze hot on his fingers, toying between her legs, her breath caught in a whimper. Eyes you have.
Okay.
And I think for this week's Girth Check, it's pretty evident that one of the least impressive features of him is his...
Oh, okay. So she says, what big?
If she says, what big, and then
and she's
she holds...
Like, suddenly casting about to see, like, what can I say is big? And then she's like...
Eyes, you have.
Eyes, yeah. I love his eyes, man. He's got a huge fucking eyes, man.
Big eyes, but
yeah,
is notably...
Is Marcus everything they say he is? Yeah, he's got a huge eye and
eyeball.
A huge other eye, and they're both pretty large. Yeah.
So okay. I think notably he does not have a big penis,
so we'll
and that's fine.
And that's fine.
We're not here. We're not fine. Casting judgment. We don't cast judgment in Girth Check.
We're Bingus Butchers.
We're Bingus Butchers.
Okay,
so we're
going to
put him
on
the big leaderboard. We'll probably put him near the bottom.
Near the bottom. Okay, that's great.
For now.
Okay, yeah. That's useful. Okay, we've got three more segments. We have 2 minutes left to do all of
them. Yep.
I actually fortunately captured an extremely quick two prude dudes segment.
Oh, perfect. Yep.
So we can just quickly bang that one out. Let's get started. Two prude dudes is when, as you all know, you all listen to the show while you're at the dinner table with your families and your grandma. And so we try to read the sexy parts, but we try to sanitize them in a way that everyone can enjoy it. And let's do that with this section that I captured that's pretty quick. Ready?
Yeah. Well, we've already been talking about fanfic a lot.
Yeah, so we're going to fanfic this, but we're going to, you know, clean it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Use that word again, she whispered in his ear minutes later as he pressed his open mouth against her neck. We can't have that. And moved above her, inside her. We absolutely can't have that.
No. Pushed his open TARDIS.
That's Doctor Who. As he pressed the button to open... No.
Pressed his... what's the screwdriver called?
Sonic screwdriver.
The sonic screwdriver to open the door of the TARDIS.
Okay, great. She was tight
Look
around
at us, him. We're fanficking.
She was tight around him, trembling. So,
capture this. We'll put it on AO3.
Great. Okay, she was tight around him, trembling. The TARDIS...
No, not tight around him.
The TARDIS was not tight around her.
It was actually bigger
on
the inside. Yeah.
And also quite wet.
Is it?
Yeah,
the TARDIS?
In this one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she could tell with every thrust.
I guess.
Of the TARDIS, because it's like shaking around.
Yeah, it does shake a little bit.
When he raised himself a bit higher to climb the steps of the TARDIS and ground
the control area of the TARDIS, yeah.
So the control area of the TARDIS and ground against her sex.
No.
And ground
against space-time.
Ground against space-time. She gasped and closed her eyes. That seems fine. He told her the absolute truth, then hot into her ear. His teeth on her earlobe. I'm not sure that's okay.
No. His teeth eating a crumpet.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's good. I think a crumpet is perfect. I love your, and then it's a word that begins with P that I will not say in this particular segment.
I love your Cyberman.
What's a let's look up Doctor Who enemies.
Doctor Who terminology.
Let's see if we can find one that begins with P.
We used to have so much fun on the internet. What happened? I'm on the Atlantic reading an article called A Doctor Who Glossary for Beginners. Oh, why don't we do this anymore?
I just wish we could. None of them are begin with P.
Begin with P.
Feels like they're really trying to stymie us here. Okay, I've got one. I've got it.
Yes.
Thank God. Okay. Good news, guys. I've righted the ship here.
Yeah.
I love your
tailspin.
I love your plasmavore, he said.
Sure.
the shape-changing alien that lives on the hemoglobin that absorbs the blood of their victims.
Yeah, we've all seen Doctor Who.
I love your plasmavore. I love it. When you're at work, he managed to slip a hand between the plasmavores down mm-hmm. low because he wasn't lasting much longer. And shit, let's not have that. And sugar.
Okay, that's fine.
The sound she made when he rubbed her, and then it's a word that begins with C. And I think I'm on the right page for this. I'm just gonna say
Cyberman.
When you're at work, and then is it okay if I just say letters for this next sentence rather than scandalizing people at the table? When you're at work, I F my D and think about filling your P with my F, my C, my T.
And do we need to sanitize that now that you sort of like self-sanitized?
No.
Or do we need to come up with something that starts with each of those letters?
Yeah, I'll just do it.
Yeah, you do it.
I've got it here. When you're at work, Fenric, the ancient evil alien entity from the Curse of Fenric,
yep.
Attacks my Dalek.
Yep.
And think about filling your Peladonian, which appears humanoid, but despite their lack of advanced technology, is admitted into the Galactic Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
With my... you're going to have to help me keep track of this sentence and whether it scans.
Okay.
With my future kind, the cannibalistic humanoid species with sharp teeth and warrior-like markings on their faces.
Yeah, I think we're good so far.
How has the sentence gone so far? Read it back
to me. It's good. It's good. It works. It scans. It's working. It's
okay,
fine.
So, and then the future kind shows up at this point, and it's a pretty scary guy. And what does he do? Well, he rubs the... it's very unexpected, but he rubs the plasmavore again.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And that's it. And then, weirdly, Fenric is there.
Yeah, Fenric, which...
It's an ancient evil
iconic
alien
character.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's some good Doctor Who fanfic
yeah.
we've read.
And that's we did fanfic on fanfic.
And not sexy.
It's not sexy at all, and I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that sentence made a lot of sense. We've mm-hmm. got just enough time to do the most scale, and fortunately, she did it for us. There's a lot of diamond
Olivia
gem did. Stuff. Yeah, there's gems and diamonds, and she's constantly comparing him to different diamonds. Is he gold? Maybe he's too soft to be gold because he's vulnerable. Maybe he's a diamond because he's beautiful. Anyway, then she finally settles, and she says this.
Oh, fool's gold.
You can look it up on the Mo scale. The Mo scale, of course, is when we rate the book on how many boners it gave us. And how and Mo scale is a scale of hardness. Then he saw it, carefully tucked inside a pocket, cushioned from damage with newspaper. I changed my mind, she told him one Saturday, as they'd stood on the cliffs above the Sutro Baths and watched the tide roll in. I thought you were a diamond, and then I thought you were gold. But none of that was quite right. Not once I knew you better. I got you a gift, she told him cheerfully, and kept digging. The sheets of newspaper crinkled as he carefully unfolded them, revealing stone, the most beautiful stone he'd ever seen. It was a rich, intense blue, speckled with white, veined in what appeared to be gold, a polished sphere, cool in his cupped hand. It's lapis lazuli.
Ah, from Minecraft.
With a fingertip, she tapped the stone. And so she clearly wants us to decide the hardness rating of this book based on her own...
Between 5 and 6.
Idea, and it's lapis lazuli. And what are you saying? It's between 5 and 6.
It's
on
between
the Mohs scale.
Apatite and orthoclase. Okay. It's about the hardness of a knife or glass plate.
That sounds about right.
That passage, the passage you just read me,
yeah,
did not make me as hard as glass plate, but no.
Yeah.
Passages in this book certainly did.
Yeah.
So.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. We're not going to do Love in the Time of Horses. I'm very excited to dig more into it, but this is a very dense book, and we spent about 20 minutes talking about the Phantom Menace.
Yeah, among other things.
That's all the time we have for today. I would like to thank you, Tanner, so very much for bearing with me.
You're welcome.
I would like to thank the bed pots and the sex bugs.
Sex bugs.
Very much, yep, for bearing with us. I would like to tell everyone, please, you got to subscribe to our Patreon. We've got two tiers. One of them, we talk about the Sweet Valley Twins books. The other one, we talk about the Babysitter's Club TV show, Netflix show. It's really good. You can listen to both. Either or both of those shows on our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. You can buy our merch at bit.ly/BSCC merch. You can, of course, rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts, and you must. And please do join our Facebook page. It's called Baby Nation. All that remains is for me to say that this week we read a novel. That novel was called Spoiler Alert by Olivia Dade. We loved it. Give it a fucking read. It's tons of fun.
Yeah, it's really good. It's super fun.
Please do read that book. And next week, I think we're going to be reading Northanger Abbey.
Could be.
By Jane Austen. Famous romance.
You told
novel.
Me that it's full of like hardcore sex scenes.
Yeah, it's their sexiest one.
It's a very sexy book.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have, of course, been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring. Please do rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. What's happening?
Well, for the last 8 books, you do the outro.
Oh, shoot. I forgot. Did I forget? Yes. Yes, I did. Here we go. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to search the text for cock. searching. Here we go. Aghast, I met Jack's wide-eyed gaze. Ducking my head, I trailed my mouth up the curve.
This makes no sense.
Jack's neck.
You didn't prep this in advance, did you?
I didn't prep it in advance. I forget that this is my own segment that I have to prepare every week.
You just found a dirty passage of this book.
That's the bit.
I tried to change the names. Next week, we're going to be reading a book called Northanger Abbey. We don't have an outro this week, but Tanner's going to, he's promised himself,
working on it.
In the spirit of vulnerability, that he's going to do better.
Self-improvement.
He's
going to
do better and be better. Yeah. And I would like to tell you all goodbye.
Goodbye. We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kid to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows. And the man in this is so, it's I've never met a man like that. Sure, he loves Great British Bake Off, just like you. Oh, can I say something about that? Yeah. Ready? I'm just saying, there's more of Marcus in you than I think you realize. I found a passage about... Plus, you're a hunk, right? Just like him. Here's a passage. And me too, I have dyslexia. We're both hunks. In the end... And it's hunky. It's hunky to have dyslexia. In the end, April ordered yet more takeout for dinner. Steamed chicken and vegetables for Marcus, red curry with shrimp and rice for herself, and he accepted her invitation to stay the night. Cuddled together on the couch, they binge-watched an old season of his favorite British baking show until it was much too late, before finally stumbling back to her bedroom. So, yeah. My question is, there are other ones? Besides Great British Bake Off? He watched an old season of his favorite British baking show. Oh, sure. Yeah. He's a connoisseur. So that means there's... I imagine the success of... I mean, it's capitalism, right? The success of Great British Bake Off must have spawned a lot of lookalikes.
Maybe it was the other way around. And it would be very British for it to be the other way around, where they're like, they originally did like the middling British Bake Off.
It's very dry.
The quite good British Bake Off.
Yeah. It's not meant to be a humorous show.
The really not too bad British Bake Off.
It's by the book. Like, we just bake.
And then finally they're
stony
like,
silence.
Eventually they're just like, shit, this one's a fucking good one, man. We just gotta say it.
Yeah.
And that's the Great British Bake Off. I'd watch all of them, to tell you the truth.